What's up, everybody? It's episode 37 of Stick and Rink podcast, known as a sports and entertainment brand all across the globe. Vancouver dominating the market, bending over all of the rest of Canada, showing them that we mean business. We are the go-to guys for everything. We'll sell you a couch, a used car, a sick hockey trade, fucking deodorant. This pen, I'll sell you this pen. I'm also accompanied by three sexy people. I include myself in that. We're three people. But first, before I even ask them one question, before I even mention them in a breath, I do want to get some DraftKings talk. Our friends down at DraftKings, I'm going to throw the banner on the video. The banner is on the video. You may check out the banner if you don't want to listen to me, if you're a reader instead. DraftKings.com. Our friends are sponsors, presenting sponsors of Stick and Rink podcast. Promo code THPN at sign up. That gets you a free entry with your first $5 deposit. There are eligibility restrictions. Check out DraftKings.com for details. But all of it, guys, it's all there. Basketball, football, hockey, golf, not Formula One. I shouldn't say everything because I think that's coming. That better be coming. I one day want to bet on those fucking 20 racers in there. I want to put all my money on Williams, Josh. That's what I want to do. But other than that, golf is done now. We've got the RBC Heritage coming up on Thursday. What else is coming around the bend? Canucks are coming back. The playoff train kicks off again on Friday. So if you're smart, you got every healthy Canuck on your roster, which is hopefully all of them. But other than that, guys, that's it for DraftKings. We got a promo code THPN that helps us out. When you use that promo code, that helps the boys out. So promo code THPN at sign up. Free entry with your first $5 deposit. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. All that stuff. All that goodness.
Oh, harder, baby.
Episode 37. Josh, how are you doing?
Boys, it is good to be back. I am in day seven. I don't know. I think day seven of quarantine, maybe. Anyway, so that's fine. But it happened again, boys. I got another message from one of my other buddies asking me to golf. Supposed to be today. Had to dreadfully say no. My eyes are bloodshot. I've been looking at a TV screen for the last pretty much 12 hours of my day. So yeah, we're rolling. We're rolling right along. I'm running out of things to do. I'm running out of people to talk to because everyone's at work and it's midweek. So that's fun. So yeah, it's fine. We're good. Raph, how you doing,
pal? Yo, good. I have also been looking at a TV screen for 12 hours of my day, but I do it by choice because I enjoy it. Guys, I realized something today that made me feel very old.
Oh,
at least I
never good.
At least I think it made me feel old. I was taking my sister to school because I'm a good brother, and I was driving. I was driving back home, and I guess like you know how in high school you would do like the what's it called like the 2 kilometer run or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah,
like around like the neighborhood and everything like that. I saw kids running with like their phones in their hands and like AirPods in their ears and all that kind of stuff, and it just made me think and wonder like we didn't do that when we were kids, did we?
No,
like, I would always leave, like, my phone in my shin in the locker, and I just thought that was, like, a really weird kind of, like, generational turn. I don't know if you guys agree with me on that. That's getting kind of weird.
Wait, hang on. Like, as in, like, you're seeing kids run with their phones in their hands?
Like, this kid's, like, doing the run. He has his iPhone in his hand. He has AirPods in his ears, and he's just going for a run.
Wait. Oh, and
some of these kids were just... What's that?
They're doing, like, the 2 kilometer run?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's, some kids are just fucking fun. Running with their phones, too, and it's, like, that's just... super weird, and it made me feel very old for a brief moment, being like, is this what kids are doing now?
Dude, I've always wondered what, like, hypothetically, boys, if we were to just shrink back down to high school age and size, because 6'5" Elijah 260 is not going to look good in the grade 12 classroom.
Billy Madison kind of look, right?
Exactly. I've always wondered what that would actually be like. With like today's technology and everything and like how students like interact with one another.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like it's probably like they're all just like hunched around in their own little cliques and pods and shit all on their phones and just like it's supposed to be individual work, but you're doing group work and like that type of shit. Like, I don't know. I've always wondered about that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, so when we were in high school, I want to say like, at least for me, it was 2008 to 2013. For Josh, it was 2009 to 2014. That was like, when was the first iPhone released? First iPhone was like 2007, right? Something like that.
Something like that.
Or first smartphone, I guess I should say.
Something like that.
I feel like back in the day, like obviously our phones didn't do shit compared to what they do now. Like, and we were kind of, the only thing we were addicted to was texting each other. That's all we did.
Right.
Yeah, but now it'd be like, what is it, T9 or something like that?
Yeah, seriously.
T9 word, baby. Huge guy.
Liam Feenan, number 10, saying boomers in the Twitch chat. Buddy, like, dude, just...
This guy's a fucking 98. Get out of this fucking podcast. You're not a baby.
Dude, he's got a fucking stock photo of a guy in a spaghetti strap tank top looking way too jacked. Definitely not Liam in that photo. But also, dude, we know Liam in real life. He's more of an old soul than we are. So the minute he gets to our age, dude, he's Grandpa Liam. That's all he is at this point.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, or at least we've got some youth left in our brains. That's for sure.
I don't know, man. I'll go against that. I feel like Liam is substantially younger than us. Liam's just always on top of it with like whatever memes and whatever stupid fucking sayings are trending first before anyone gets fair to enough. It. Liam was the first person I ever heard yell sheesh just randomly and ironically. And I was just like, all right, cool, I guess. And now the entire world's fucking doing it. So,
like, do you guys remember like calling it like a spaz or like a cow? Because like, yeah. I did that a lot. Like,
yeah.
There were certain words and now like, if you like,
chatterbox,
yeah,
like, yeah.
I used to call everyone a scrub, dude. I was a gamer and I'd call people a scrub online, and then I go to high school and I would dummy someone in PE and be like, dude, you're a scrub.
Do you guys know what to say? Do you guys think if I were to be in your high school at the time that we would be friends?
I would bully you. Just kidding.
No, just kidding. Josh, you should have seen Raffle in high school, dude. I didn't go to his high school, but I knew what kind of guy he was in high school, and I think I know the reputation he had in high school. Like, you think that, like, right now you kind of see Raffle, like, great guy, nice guy, actually, like, can be friends with everyone. In high school, literally letter of the word was friends with everybody. Like, there was not one, maybe one person that he rubbed the wrong way. Everyone else was like, oh, I know Raffle.
I was a nice, quiet kid, dude. I was also like, I wouldn't put myself as like the popular kid, but I wouldn't also put myself as kind of like the you're not popular kid. I was kind of like that, like in that, like, I don't
played,
know. I just have friends with everybody.
You played the field perfectly, dude.
Yeah, I played the field. And the I just hang out in the science hallway, go to my fucking bio classes and go home.
Yeah. The only thing is he was a whore in high school. He slept with like 100 people.
That's oh, definitely. So yeah, true. So,
like, probably should get tested. But back to the cell phones. So one of the biggest things I thought is like during our time in high school, it was like obvious there's a fucking rule. You don't pull out your cell phone in class. Is that still a thing?
Dude, I don't know.
I don't
because like by the time I got to the end of it, it was like, I'm using it for my calculator. It's like I'm looking up the like how to do this. It's like, fuck off, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guarantee there's gotta be a rule, right? Like there has to be.
Yeah.
Like you can't just like sit. Like how are you expected to teach someone if they're literally looking at another screen?
Yeah.
Like, but like that rule is still in effect in terms of how much it's actually like enforced, I guarantee has gone way down.
But yeah, do you also think that like think about how incognito we were with our phones, just like pulling them out underneath our desk, like leaning back in a way to like
next to your thigh, dude. How dumb did we look then? The exactly. fucking teacher was thinking to sound like, what a bunch of fucking losers. I see them the whole time.
100%, yeah. But I'm sure like kids have now refined cheating on their phones, right? They've started doing it. They had to have started doing it in a different way.
I bet.
They've revolutionized it. Or teachers have just like stopped giving a fuck and they're like, you know what, they're everywhere. They might as well kind of utilize them somehow.
Okay, I guarantee you they have texting breaks. I guarantee it. That was starting to come in like grade 11, 12 for me. And I was like, this is so weird. But I guarantee you they have.
You know what always made me laugh in high school was when you're in the bathroom and you're like washing your hands, taking a piss, taking a dump, whatever it is. Yeah. And you always look on the wall and always see some funny ass fuck graffiti. Like there's always like you see like someone bad mouthing a teacher being, you know, like, or like, I remember this one time, yeah. I'm on the throne and I look and I remember like there was like,
on the throne.
I look and there's this girl that I knew, like she was in like one of my classes, and it's like, call this girl for a good time, and like wrote her number. And I'm like, holy shit.
Josh, the real question, did you call that number?
No chance. I almost texted it, but I refrained.
Josh and Michelle weren't really on the same page yet about like what the dynamic of the house was. That was for Stampede. That's what Stampede unlocked.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. So what else do we have going on here?
Okay, so guys, I got big news. Well, actually, this is my day so far. I'm pretty sure I snapped it to Liam's girlfriend and not him. Boom, left you out of it, Liam. Get fucked. I come home. I pick up Megan. We go to the gym at 3:30. We come home at 5 o'clock, and there's like probably a dozen people around our building, and there's two signs, two giant billboard signs outside of our house that say development application, which is like, If you know, dude, that means we're tearing this shit down. We're about to build a brick house, dude. That means they're rebuilt. That means they want to rebuild this shit. So they put in an application. Me and Megan literally, like, I don't know if this is just us handling crisis or like handling news. We just started laughing. We're like, what the fuck? Like, this is wild, man. So, yeah, this is, I might be getting evicted, boys. First time ever.
You know what, E? Yeah. I wouldn't worry too much. What I would do is, if you really don't want to leave, just chain yourself to the building. When the children are rolling up your street, just fucking pull like a full-on Greenpeace protest and pull a Jordan Belfort and just be like, I'm not fucking leaving.
Yeah, dude, fucking chain yourself to that asbestos-filled building and just go down with the ship.
No. Seriously.
Yeah, like it's only in the application process, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to go ahead. 100%
it's going to go ahead. I thought so too. I thought that like, I live in Marple, which is kind of, I shouldn't be giving away my, because there's not that many fucking buildings that have a development application in there.
And there's a great Honda Civic parked right out front.
Yeah, fuck off, dude. Fuck off.
He still probably has his winter tires on from last winter.
Go fuck yourself. Turn those into F1 tires.
Hey, while we're giving out addresses, let's just toss out fucking
the if old, you see the giant old fuzzy dice, that's the one.
Fuck off. It's okay. By the time anyone gets the supplies to get over here, I'm already kicked out. It's already bulldozed to the ground, so don't worry. So,
holy hell.
Yeah, honestly, I'm actually not that worried about it because like we were planning to move anyway, but it's just hilarious to think about that. Like, dude, I posted this in the group, dude. This is the most wild thing. No one got a word in. Like, no one's been told anything. They didn't email anyone. They didn't send out any letters. They literally just sent some fucking honcho over, nail up these signs, and then like, yeah, get the fuck out kind of thing.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to ask you this because I've never had to do it. But is moving stressful?
Different like aspects. Yes, it is. Yeah,
like,
it sucks.
Like the actual day, though, like when you're actually moving your shit, like is that stressful or is it more so finding the place?
Personally, okay, that's like a whole nother fucking smorgasbord of bullshit you have to deal with. Finding the place sucks. Because like it, whether or not you're looking for a place to buy or a place to rent, the basic routine you go through is you find places that you like that you don't end up getting or that like are just one thing away from what you want. Like you have like a list of five things that you're looking for and it has three or five, you know?
Right.
And so that sucks. The actual day of moving, I wouldn't equate it to stress. It's not stress, but just imagine waking up knowing you're going to get punched in the face. That's pretty much what it is. Like, cause you know, you're not stressed. You're like, this day is going to fucking suck. That's what you know. That like it's so different from like this day is important. It's more like I just hope I wake up and this day's over.
No amount of planning can prepare you for a move. You can be as fucking prepared as you want. You can have as much shit as in boxes as you want, but it is always going to be fucking something that goes wrong. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say this. I would say if you're moving alone, like if it's just you moving from one place to another, probably pretty easy. Unless you have furniture that you need help with. But I'm just picturing like if it's just me that needs to move my shit and figure out my own problems, I could do that. Yeah. But it's like all the other pieces. It's like fucking landlords. It's like making sure the place is clean. That's the bullshit. Actually, one of my favorite parts about the place we lived in is we had this big stink when we first moved in because like they did not do a good job cleaning it beforehand. And we like did get kind of pissed off, but we also just cleaned it ourselves, with the full understanding that when we live, we're just going to leave it a mess. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm not, we paid for cleaners in the last place. We ain't doing shit here, dude. I'm gonna take a shit behind the oven if I have to.
Just leave it there.
Yeah, seriously.
Dude, you're fucked.
But yeah, that's my life right now. And last thing about it, you said like it's going ahead. I thought so for sure. I was like, there's no way. Like, this is an old neighborhood, old buildings everywhere. It's eventually getting torn down and rebuilt.
Yeah.
But yeah. People were saying there was one across the road last year or 2 years ago or something that got denied. And like, because there was so many disputes about it, I guess. I don't know.
So what's the time window on this? Like, when are you going to know if it's fully going to go through or not?
I have no idea. Apparently they submitted their application last month around the 21st, and the signs just got put up now. So it's like, if it goes, the minute that it goes ahead, I'm pretty sure they have to give us a minimum 4 months notice to get out.
That's not bad, like, though.
That's plenty of time. Honestly, though, on a serious note, it's actually fucked up because, like, I would say Megan and I are the luckiest people in this building because, like, we're definitely one of the youngest people in here. Mm-hmm. We have steady enough income from both of us to afford something more than this. But yeah, for example, there's probably two or three units in this building of like old people with mobility issues. That sucks. And like clearly don't work. There's a family downstairs who, I don't know, you just kind of, you know, you gauge what their life situation is and you kind of don't really, you know, this is not going to be easy for them if this happens. So that part really does suck. Yeah, but
fortunate. Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's kind of the one side of it is like when you are in those older neighborhoods, like you will start to see these people that are like, okay, like they're in here for a reason, right? Like it's cost effective, you know, it's cheap. You're pretty much central to a lot of things. So yeah, I mean, that fucking sucks. But I mean, like in terms of moving, like how much furniture do you guys have?
Oh, dude, my girlfriend's a designer, dude. I got a shit ton, man.
Just a bunch of random fabrics and shit laying around all over the place.
You want to see how many fucking throw pillows I got, Josh? I'll throw you against a pillow, dude. How about that? Seriously, though. It'll be fun, though. I don't mind. I can't wait. We're going to get a dog. Next up.
Okay. Well, we are a sports podcast.
Sports entertainment. Hell yes.
So why don't we talk some hockey, and then I want to talk a little bit of F1 with Elijah as well. Yeah, have you been watching Drive to Survive?
Yeah. So I think I'm about four episodes into season two.
Okay. Cool.
About.
Okay.
We'll forget the last thing. Dude, Daniel Ricciardo, funniest guy probably in all sports, like funniest pro athlete, I would say. He's walking and he's like, I don't think I could say the C word.
Yeah, you can. I think if you're repeating,
like, I'm quoting someone. He said those fucking Netflix are c***s, hey?
Yeah.
He said it right to the camera, dude. That was hilarious.
Netflix kids are a bunch of c***s, hey? He starts laughing.
I was dying, dude. But I couldn't take it.
But you know what, though? Okay, I kind of want to touch on that because, like, I used to work with a guy from New Zealand, and he would always come up to me and be like, "He's like, Josh, you're a good c***, hey?" I'm like, okay. Like, it drove me nuts. Like, I won't keep saying it because I know a lot of people don't like the word, but nonetheless, like, it
just
was,
quoting, okay. Dude, we're just quoting out here. We are journalists doing our job.
Yeah, if exactly. We're sports journalists.
Seriously.
But it always made me laugh. Just like the way that he said it, like the way that's just kind of instilled into their culture.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. So let's touch on F1 a little bit, but let's talk some hockey. Because trade deadline day yesterday, some moves were made by the Canucks, some decent blockbuster trades just in and around the NHL. So, E, where do you want to go? Let's start with Vancouver.
Why don't we do that? Okay, so the Vancouver moves. They ship out Adam Gaudette to Chicago, get a guy named, is it Michael Highmore or Matthew Highmore?
Yeah, Highmore, that's all I know.
Already fucked it. M. Highmore, we're going to call him. So they do that straight up trade. We send Jordy Ben to the Jets for a 6th round pick, as far as I know. That's what happened.
Yeah.
I think that was it. And is there another one for the Canucks? I think that's it, right?
I think that was it. Yeah.
In terms of the Canucks. Yeah. So that happened. Do you want to break down some Canucks? Like, you want to talk about this real quick? You want to get going?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Well, Jordy Ben, like, for me, I'm not really too upset about this. In a way, like, I think they're just starting to paved the way for like rookies to come in and actually start like, you know, making more of an impact. So I kind of see it from that side. Yeah. Because like all the moves that I see, especially from Vancouver, is anyone that's moved out, you know, are they part, and you have to ask yourself the question, are they part of the long-term plan? Like, are they going to be playing with Pettersson, Horvat, and Hughes down the line? Like in 5-6 years, like, are they part of that plan? And if they're not, then I would say deal them, especially this season, because your season's a write-off anyway, in a way. Or I don't want to say it's a write-off, but it's not looking good for sure. You know, so like, you obviously, like with these two moves, even though they were, I would say, kind of minor, they were sellers. They weren't buyers, which means Benning is not bought in to making a playoff push this year. That's kind of the message that was sent.
Yeah. Oh, so, okay.
So that's my take on Ben. I mean, Gaudette, I actually really like Gaudette, and I didn't really like that deal. I don't know anything about this Highmore kid. I have no statistics on him. I don't even know if he's in the lineup for the Blackhawks. But Gaudette, I don't know. He seemed very energetic. He was a little water bug out on the ice when he played for Vancouver. And he was pretty electric, I thought.
Yeah, so I guess I'll talk real quick, but I was a little bit upset about the Gaudette trade, just not because of what it ended up being, who for who, more just the fact that like saying goodbye to a player who has taken a long time to develop for sure and hasn't really gotten to the point where people want him to, and that being front office as well. But I still think I tweeted this out. I think that he will one day be a 15 to 20 goal scorer in this league. If Chicago gives him a good enough chance, and if, you know, if he has his luck with avoiding injuries, I think he will be a 15 to 20 goal scorer for, who knows, a few years in this league. I think he's got the skill set and everything to do it. The tough part is, like, I see the side of trading him. It kind of sucks that you don't get, you know, what you might expect to get for a guy like that, a former Hobie Baker winner, a guy who had 30 plus points the other season in 60 games. Like, he was playing well. And like, the thing about Gaudette, he's an engine, dude. Like, he works hard. Yeah. He was, I would say, for this, as difficult as this season was, him and I would say Hoglander was obviously number one for who had the give a fuck meter at the best. Mm-hmm. But I would say that Gaudette was, he had to be two or three. Like, that guy was constantly giving it. And he's not, doesn't make the best plays, but at least the effort was there when a lot of the season people's effort wasn't there. So
yeah,
on that sense, I'm a little bit choked about seeing him go. But I also said, when you look at the Highmore kid, you said you didn't have many stats about him. And, you know, you're right. Like, it's, there's not, even if you did know the stats, I know for a fact that Gaudette's probably played, I want to say 100 some NHL games. And he's probably, I think he's about 40 or 50 points career wise, maybe 60. So about a half point a game. I think Highmore has a little less than about 60 or 70 games played. And he's got like 20 points or something like that. Like, the points, the statistics aren't good. And on paper, it looks like a bit of a loss for the Canucks in this one, but the word has come out that the Canucks wanted to sign him out of college. I believe he was a college free agent. They had a lot of interest in him there, and they think that he has untapped potential. So they obviously see something in him that they think they can extricate and kind of perform with. So yeah, I'm excited to see that, because what I was saying is no one knew what Tyler Mott was going to be when we traded for him. Cause that was way back in the Thomas Vanek deal to Columbus or whatever it was, Detroit. I don't know.
Right.
So like, oftentimes you don't really find out the result of the trade until a few years later. So yeah. I am looking forward to seeing how that goes. We did miss one move the Canucks did. They did acquire Madison Bowie.
Oh, really? So,
yeah. Yeah. So
from where? Washington?
I thought it was it Washington? Yes, I think it was.
Dude, I remember,
look at us not knowing shit, dude.
Dude, the only reason why I know Madison Bowie is his name, actually.
Is it Bowie?
Fuck. Because I remember the
He's from Chicago, isn't he?
Huh?
He's from Chicago.
Oh, he used to play in Washington. Anyway.
He did come from Detroit. Chicago. That's right. Yeah, he came from Chicago.
The only reason why I know this, though, is I remember being really invested again in, like, minor hockey, like WHL stuff, when I was watching the Kelowna Rockets, when it was, like, Nick Merkley, Josh Morrissey, and then Madison Bowie was Morrissey's defensive partner on the WHL team. And the kid's pretty good. I don't think he's ever really like solidified himself in kind of any team that he's been on. Maybe lack of skill, but also like when you look at like when you have a good player drafted out of the WHL and you go to like a winning team, it's harder to crack that roster for sure, because like they may just not have a spot for you. So, I mean, again, like I can't really speak to what he's done over the years, but the name rings a bell and I don't mind it. So.
Nice. No. Yeah. I would say, so just an overall look at the way the Canucks are approaching this. So funny enough, these are three minor deals the Canucks have made, and fucking Canucks Nation is livid. Like, leave it to Vancouver to somehow create a mountain out of a molehill. This is not a big deal. What is going on? Some people wanted more for Gaudette. They should have traded him earlier when his value is higher. Some people wanted Pearson moved as well. Just fuck off, dude. Like, can we just leave this small time situation as a small time situation? Just move on and look forward to Friday's game.
Like, yeah, like I agree. I think it's not like we're blowing up the roster here. You know, it's not like we're trading away like a key piece. Like, are we trading away depth guys? Yeah, but again, a depth guy is, you have to ask yourself that question as a GM and as a fan. Like, do you see this person on the team 4 to 5 years down the road? And if the answer is no, then that person is expendable. Like, I'm sorry, but they are. You know, it's the sad truth. And again, like, people always care about like what you're doing now and what you're producing now. You're only as good as your last season, it almost seems, in Vancouver, which I think is a very...
Oh. Yeah, fuck Josh's audio. Who cares about it, dude?
It's for the best.
Yeah, Josh. Yeah. Oh, there you go. I think you're back now.
Sorry. Fucking okay. Got a little phone call from a buddy, and I don't know why he's
asking you to golf, dude.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So anyway, like, I think, like, if you don't see them in the future, then they're expendable. Like, they really are.
So I should have sold you. The part that people are mad about, honestly, Canucks Nation, they're actually pretty okay with trading people. Like, if anything, they're fucking gung-ho on just getting rid of people on a whim. Mm-hmm. So they're more of the thought, like, Jim Benning's not doing enough, not getting enough. But I would say the thing that gets me about this fan base, I almost rant each episode about what this fan base fucks me up with, is, like, the idea of not trading Pearson, signing him instead. The people that wanted him traded, honestly, it comes across as like, man, a second, third round pick might take this team over the top. It's like, no, that's a second or third round pick that might come up in the next 3 or 4 years. Uh-huh. Like, that really doesn't make or break what this team is. If, in my opinion, if you want to be a fan that's, and I hate to put the divider there and say you're either a fan or you're not, because there is a middle ground. I get that. But in my opinion, you should at least be enough of a fan to say that you are a fan of the core. The Pettersson, Hughes, Horvat, Besser, Miller. You're a fan of that. You're a believer in that. And you should consciously be able to say, like, okay, I might not like Jimbo, but he's built a pretty good team, and I like the team. I think we can win with the team. So, I don't know. That's where I fall. I think some fans are fucking idiots.
Yeah, I agree. Like, and again, like, no matter what you do, like, everyone's going to be like, oh, you got fleeced in this trade, and like, And I think every fan base does this, is like, from a face value trade, and we can jump into another one, is like, from face value, like, you don't know what it's going to be. You'll never know. You know, like, I mean, like, when you look at, who was it?
The Mantha trade?
The Mantha trade, but I'm just talking about general trades, like, overall, like, you know, the Subban and Weber
trade. Great example. Montreal.
People, we're about to murder Bergevin because they traded Subban. But look, dude, look at where Weber is now, like, 3 years down the line, and Subban's on the second team in that timeline. Like, clearly there was, like, Bergevin was right, but they only care when the player you trade away does well. And, like, that's when you're like, oh, he, you know what I mean? Like, if this Highmore kid comes in and, you know, lights it up, or, like, at least does well, dude, this conversation is going to be over by next week.
Yeah.
You know, like,
that's exactly it. And that's the thing, is hindsight is 20/20 whenever there's, like, someone else to blame. Whenever you can blame the GM, hindsight is right there to do it. But this is the thing, that's whenever, and this is whatever side of an argument you fall on, it's so hard to give credit when you're wrong. No one does it, especially in social media. Why would you? Yeah. But people also are way there. They are fucking lightning quick to give out criticism when they're at least minusculely right, you know?
Yeah, 100%. So. And another trait that I was even thinking of to speak more of like how Vancouver reacted from a fan that was looking from the outside in was Corey Schneider to the Devils. Like that, yep. That pick that they got for him was Bo Horvat, dude. That's your fucking captain. Like that was the pick that got you Bo Horvat. Like you traded him to Jersey for the number 7 and it ended up being him. Like, you know, and look at where Schneider is, dude. This guy doesn't even play. And now you've got your captain. So, yep. You know, again, like from face value, people are like, dude, like, what are you doing riding Luongo? Like, he's so bad. Like, Schneider should be your goalie. Well, you know, I mean, Luongo had a more successful career after he left Vancouver. And, you know, you're still eating his contract, which is shitty. But Schneider's not even playing. And Bo Horvat is still here. You know, like, I feel like yeah. just. And again, JT Miller trade, same thing. You know, you give up a first round yep. pick. Led the tied for team scoring last year. You know, he's having a bad year this year, but nonetheless, it's just like people, like if he didn't pan out in that first year, people are about to kill you. But I didn't hear anyone say anything about JT Miller last year when he was leading the team in scoring. Not one thing.
Yeah.
And that's where people take the L.
Disco Stu on Twitter is pointing out that Luongo got us Markey as well.
There you go.
I mean, like, what? Fucking thank you for pointing that out, Disco Stu, because that when we look back 3 years from now, let's just hope that we're kind of a perennial contending playoff team, at least just in the hunt every year, right? Yeah. If we get to that point, I honestly fuck it. Sorry, I got distracted there. 3 years from now, if we look back at the time that we had Markey for those 5 years or so, especially the last two, when we kind of had our core figured out and he was there. I would say that he probably might be the most important part of getting us there because he really put some fucking tape on the holes of this team.
Yeah.
To make us be better than we were and learn how to win, you know, and like experience winning for the first time in a long time. Yeah. That was 90% him. And so when we hopefully look back at his time here, we're going to trace all the way back to the Luongo trade. Trading Luongo got us Markey, which got us a winning culture. Like how fucking sick is that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
hey, I want to move on to some NHL trades.
Yes.
Just I don't want to cover all of them. I don't even come close to that.
There's two trades I want to talk about. And I Hell think yeah, I already those know. Are. Anthony yeah. Mantha and Taylor Hall. Those are the only two I want to discuss. Dude, Perf. Anthony Mantha, man. And you know what? I'll credit Steve Yzerman, dude. Like this guy, like we all knew this was coming. Like this is what Yzerman does. He fleeces teams for players that have value, not just for this year, but going forward. And because he'll trade a core piece because he knows, like, when your team is in the dumps, like, when you're dead last, like Detroit is, you don't have a core. You don't need a core. You're not going to be competitive. Because clearly, if you were good, this core piece would be a difference maker. And Mantha is not. He's still effective, and he'll do unreal on Washington. But at that point, like, Washington again, like you kind of have to follow this up. Like you have to follow up the cup run in a way, you know, like they're the fact that they've been so good for so long and they only have one cup to show for it. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but nonetheless, you look at the teams that they battled with, like a Pittsburgh or a Chicago over the years, like, you know, those teams have multiple cups and they have won and like mm-hmm. they only won it a couple of years ago. So I love the Mantha trade. I think it's at the end of the day, like the Capitals got fleeced, but also at the same time, people have to remember, like the Capitals are in a win now situation. Like when the Capitals are, like when Detroit is good, Washington is going to be bad. Like everyone's going to be gone pretty much. Like I would say retired. Like that's where I think Steve Yzerman looks at the long-term game is like, he's looking at, we're not going to be good this year or next. It's going to be in the next 4 to 5 years.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so I wanted to see something real quick. Either way, I'll kind of just bounce the ideas off you and we'll see if we can get there logically. So this idea about Steve Yzerman, because he, like you said, a lot of people give him a lot of credit, and I think he's one of the best GMs in the league. Like, I can't take that away from him. What I will say is it is much easier to pull these trades off when you're in the position that Detroit's in. Like, Like when you're when you know you're bottom of the league going in the season, you are bottom of the league during the season, and you have a player like Mantha where you've got this timeline. I don't know, is it 25, 24, 26? I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, got a pretty affordable contract. He has a bunch of upside and he's performing decently well. Like this is a moment where you can easily say, fuck it. It doesn't matter it really doesn't matter if I'm wrong on this. Cause like he even said, he's not going to fit our timeline anyway.
Yeah.
So even if he fucks this trade up and you know, Anthony Mantha becomes this 40, 50 goal guy, well, not a big egg on his face anyway. Whereas when you look at guys like Jimbo and sorry, one more point about Yzerman, this is what he did with Tampa too. Yeah. I don't know how bad they were in 2010, but he took over in 2010. It took them till 2019 to win a cup. He didn't exactly build like an overnight dynasty. No. So he did a lot of good shit. But by the time he got to a position where Jimbo's kind of in, he was making some pretty aggressive moves, man.
Yeah.
Like that. What was the Jonathan Drouin for Sergachev? That one worked out, but not as well as you originally thought. And even now, like you got, this is the part I didn't really clarify because I don't know if he was the one to do the Blake Coleman trade, you know, where I think it was last year when they were loading up or either the year before, I'm pretty sure it was last year. They were trading away like first round picks, second round picks. If you're getting guys that were playing like third line minutes, yeah, that ultimately won them their cup. But you know what I mean? Like that's a pretty big payment. I want to wrap it up by just saying Jimbo is in a hard spot, man. Like, so ignore the first 3 years of his tenure because you're coming off the Sedin hangover and fixing that part of the team.
Yeah.
But once you actually get pieces that we have the core, now you have a decision, especially early success last year. Now you have a decision where, okay, I could trade Gaudette at the peak of his value. But like, what if by trading a guy that just got 30 points, what if he improves next year and we falter as a team like we did this year? Like, imagine the uproar if he had traded Gaudette in the offseason and he went on to have like a point a game pace or 60 points in 80 games and the Canucks missed the playoffs. You know, like it's not fucking easy when you're in this middle of the pack kind of situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my point.
And I think like that, and I agree with you in the sense of like, okay, when you're a middle of the pack team, and I would say like that's probably like 70 to 80% of the league. Like you're a middle pack team, I would say.
Yeah.
When you're in the top 10, you're going to be buyers for probably the next 4 to 5 years at a trade deadline. You're looking to add like the Thomas Vaneks, like the guys that are the UFAs, right? That are at the end of the season. Like that is your zone, right? And then what you do if you're the bottom team or the bottom 10%, you're already at the bottom. You're not going to get worse. You know, you're not going to get relegated. You know, you're not out of the NHL. So, you know, you might as well trade guys that you thought were going to obviously pan out, or maybe they're just not part of that core. It's like, hey, you know what? Are these players good enough to be a core player for us in the next 5 to 6 years? Again, comes down to that question. If they are, keep them. If they're not, trade them, because they still carry high value. And that's where Mantha does carry value. It's the fact that he still puts up consistent numbers on a shitty team. So then when you make that in your head, you're like, well, holy fuck, what is he going to do on a wagon like Washington? Everyone's like, well, they're going to put them over the edge. And also at the same time, like Yzerman, like what I will credit for Tampa Bay, like he drafted Stamkos, I'm pretty sure. Did he not? Or no?
He came in 2010, I think. I think he was 2009 or something like that.
Yeah, okay. So he had Steve, but he didn't have Kucherov. He didn't have Tyler Johnson. He drafted Drouin. He drafted Hedman, pretty sure. Actually, Victor Hedman, not 100% sure, maybe.
Oh.
But he drafted Vasilevsky. He hired John Cooper. Like Yzerman is a very good evaluator of talent looking at the minors. So, like, when you look at his tenure with Tampa, like, did he make any blockbuster trades? Maybe, like, not huge ones, but it was more so, like, his scouts and, like, his team that he had working for him as well. Like,
he
forms a team that kind of just comes into one, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's kind of, it's basically our Trevor Linden, except Yzerman is, like, 100 times better.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Yzerman is to Detroit.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So, the Jacob Vrana going the other way. big mm-hmm. piece. That's a talented guy. A lot of upside on Jacob Verana there. They got a package coming the other way. Like you said, Eiserman pulled off a pretty good deal here. I would say it's an even trade right now. You can't call a winner on this one just yet.
Yeah. And again, like I think Mantha is going to be more so the immediate impact.
Yeah.
But yeah, nonetheless. So why don't we move on? Let's move on to Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall, okay. Fucking dude, that was a waste of time going to Buffalo. So you just drive down the road when you're in Beantown.
Yeah.
Which is now he's kind of come full circle. I mean, he's in the place now where it was Sagan or Hall in the draft. I forget what year it was. And the team that I'm pretty sure
2010. Yeah.
So he went from the number one team because they took a number one overall and then he got traded 11 years later to the number two team, which is just, it's wild. It's wild how much Taylor Hall has bounced around. Would you not agree? Like what's wrong with this guy? Like is there something wrong with him or am I just out in left field here?
Do you think he's just a giant curse?
I don't know.
Yes, there but is like, that thought about like him like, as a person, as a player. Nothing terrible, but him as like a connotation and what the vibe the fans have around him now is fucked. And you heard our guest Tara last week saying like she thinks Taylor Hall's hot garbage.
Like I just
a lot of people do.
Dude, I don't know, man. Like this guy, he's a free agent at the end of the season. And what did he get from Buffalo? 7.5 1 year deal?
I thought it was ten, dude.
I'll call it right now. If this guy gets anything over 3 years, over $6.5 million, I will be shocked. I will genuinely be shocked. Yeah.
That's a tough take too, because in the like, it all depends on what he does the rest of the year, right? And playoffs.
I think it's eight million a year.
I fucked it up. 8 million.
But the other side of it is as well is what team has Taylor Hall been on? That has actually been a competitor. He's been on Edmonton.
Yeah.
He's been on Arizona. He's been on fucking Buffalo, which is, I never thought it could get any worse than Edmonton. It has. Yeah,
it has.
Where else has he played? Is that it?
New Jersey and Arizona. Yeah. Did you say that?
Yeah. Yeah, Arizona. I forgot Jersey.
Who would have thought that he would have peaked in Edmonton, hey?
Well,
New Jersey, I would say. He had a 100-point season in New Jersey, won the MVP, and
he basically got them to the playoffs. He got New Jersey into the postseason.
Yeah, I got to call out Scott Rintoul on this moment because we had Scott on the show. Great guy, love him. Would have him on anytime. I was listening to him on the radio today, and he was kind of he was kind of dumping on Taylor, and saying like you know like he kind of stole that Hart Trophy from MacKinnon, didn't really deserve it, and that's all he's known for is having this Hart Trophy, and he's kind of been overvalued for it since. Well, I would say even if you stole the trophy from him, he still had like a fucking 100-point season, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, even if he doesn't win that Hart Trophy, I think he would just go around saying one time 100-point score. Mm-hmm. But and on that note, listen, Taylor Hall, he's not as bad as people would say. I'm going to go ahead and say that. I think Taylor Hall is going to do great in Boston. I just think that's the perfect place for him. Look at all the teams he's been on so far. Edmonton, way too big expectation, or just not a great situation. New Jersey, he was the man. Arizona, mm-hmm. they paid a lot to get him, and he was supposed to be the man. Mm-hmm. Goes to Buffalo and is finally not the man, but they are the shits. They literally cannot play the hockey. They don't know how.
Yeah.
And now he goes to Boston, and he's literally like, he's probably fourth on the totem pole there when it comes to offense,
and
at best.
And I think the thing is with Taylor Hall is that we've all realized is he can't be the guy. He can't be the number one, as we've seen with Jersey, Arizona, and Edmonton. However, and it's so funny you look at where Edmonton was when you had the big three. You had Nuge, you had Ebbs, and you had Hall. And when you look at all of them now today, they're all kind of, they're not the number one guys.
Yeah.
Like they're not on their teams. And you look at the success that Eberle has had, you look at the success that Nuge has had, and like they've been lucky to find their niche, and Taylor Hall hasn't. He hasn't been able to join a team that's actually had success where he is the number two. And I think that's really unfortunate because I do really like Taylor Hall. I really do. But it's just so shitty because everyone thought this was the year. This is the year you go to Buffalo. You're behind Eichel. You've got Jeff Skinner. Like, you're not expected to be that 100-point guy that you were in Jersey. You're not going to get Buffalo over the line. You know, that's going to be up to Eichel and some other players. So yeah. I agree. I really like the deal to Boston. I really do. I think he's joining a really good situation there with winning culture and a team that is kind of in a win now mentality, as Taylor Hall is as well.
Yeah. Great, great take, Josh. We can move on now. Good hockey talk, boys.
What's up, everybody? This is Brendan.
This is Taylor.
And we are Straight Up Sabres, covering the Buffalo Sabres for the Hockey Podcast Network.
That's right. You can hear us every Monday and Thursday on Hockey Podcast Network. You can follow us on Twitter at Straight Sabres or follow us on Facebook at Straight Up Sabres.
We are very excited to bring you all of the latest coverage of what is surprisingly seeming to be a pretty exciting Sabres season ahead.
That's right. The Rasmus Ristolainen breakout season is here. You can only hear it every Monday and Thursday on Hockey Podcast Network and Buffalo Fanatics, wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we jump into F1, before we get there, Josh,
let's get it.
I do want to talk about, a couple things. My knee's junked, dude. I want to say, can you diagnose my knee pain? But that's too hard to do. If we have any physiotherapists listening to this podcast right now, I need some help. Just reach out to me. Josh, before you blew out your knee, did you say you had a pre-existing injury, but a small injury that happened before?
No. So basically what happened to me was I never had a knee problem.
Yeah.
And then I sprained my MCL. So the issue with that, obviously, is I can't get surgery on it until I actually blow it out, which is really shitty because I can just continue to sprain it and it can continue to be a bitch for like the rest of my life. I kind of have to wait for someone to like hit me with their car. And then I can get some surgery on it. So,
yeah.
Like, but I never had any pre-existing injuries. Like, I never had a knee problem before that. I've had continuous knee irritations because of it. But, yeah. It's never been, like, fully, like, torn or broken or anything like that.
So, when that chonky high school guy fell on your knee, you just sprained it. That was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I remember going to, like, the two cute sports medicine girls that were, like, the trainers on our team. Like, they were grade 12 and I was grade 10. I'm like, guys, I'm like, girls, I'm like, my knee is killing me right now. I'm like that fat dude just landed on me. And they look at me like, oh my God. Like, and they kind of like looked at each other. I'm like, okay, like we'll wrap it. And I'm like, okay, cool. So like they wrapped it and they're like, okay, like you should be good. I'm like, I don't think you understand my pain right now. Like I can barely fucking run. And the coach is like, Josh, you're back in, right? Like you're in the next series. And I'm like, yeah, sure, coach. Like, come on, like, let's go. And like, I'm just fucking running on this thing. I'm like hobbling around. So it was tough. It was a bad one.
So I'm at the point now where I would say my knee's been bothering me for about 2 weeks. And I don't, if there's any other, we were talking earlier with Liam about fucking ageist, and he was being ageist to us. This might be a sign of feeling old. I feel like I might be on the verge of blowing my knee. Not because it's like so painful it's about to fall off, but I've got like an equation in my head. I've got, okay, I'm kind of a fat slob, so I've got a little bit of weight on those joints, and I've got like this pre-existing pain, which is like very acute, like it's very specific. It's not just general, like it's not jumper's knee. That's a big thing in volleyball. It's not jumper's knee, but it's like pretty specific. And I, in my head right now, I'm picturing all the things I want to do during summer. I'm like, well, golf. Okay, that's pretty good on your knees. That's not horrible. Kind of a twisting motion, but not horrible.
Golf is fine.
Golf is fine. You could play on that one knee.
Twisting motion
really
does not sound good, though.
Probably not great, especially when you have my swing, which is just very hunky-dory. Makes no sense. Then two, I think of spike ball, and I think, okay, that's like literally sending my ACL on an expedition outside of this country. Like, there's no... It might not hang out when I try and dive for a ball.
I have a three for you that you forgot to include.
Let's hear it.
Elijah going to the gym. Whatever happened to that?
I've been going. I went the last 2 days in a row.
So E.
I would say, but I'm that guy at the gym right now. I'm skipping leg day every day because I don't want to have my ACL blow out when I'm squatting like 2 pounds.
Uh-uh. You should do some like rehabilitation for it. Do some therapy. Get some resistance bands.
So, haven't you heard? Dude, I'm getting kicked out of my apartment. I have bigger fish to fry.
So, you just keep putting off fucking going to the gym, dude.
The one thing I will say is you need to strengthen that knee as much as you can.
And or around the knee, right?
Dude, start swimming or something.
No, you need to, like Raph said, you need to start doing, actual, making that your leg stronger. So you shouldn't be skipping leg day. I feel like that's the opposite. You skip leg day when you're actually fucked and you can't move it. Until then, you're fine. You just need to strengthen up the muscle.
Fuck you guys. You're basically asking me if I'm hurt or injured right now. And I'm saying I'm hurt. And you're like, okay, well, don't be a pansy. Get back in there.
Yeah, basically, dude. Don't be a pansy.
Meanwhile, I'm going down on a weightless squat and all I hear is click, click. I just wanted to put it on the record somewhere that someday when I'm out there at Kitts Beach, right around the spike ball net, just some beached whale moaning and groaning about his knee, I want to say that I told myself so.
Okay. Can you be really dramatic about it when it finally happens?
I will be in tears because I'll be so sad because I know how long that takes. I know what that does to you. That would fuck my brain up so much.
No. I mean by the injury in general. Can you not just be walking and then make it look like you just rolled your ankle or something like that? Can you actually take a huge dive and just tumble and just be very over the top?
If it's the way people describe it to me, where it sounds like a giant elastic band that snapped, dude, I will probably be the cover of the movie Get Out with the guy just eyes wide open and tears. That's what I'll be. I'll just be, oh fuck.
Yeah.
So done with the world.
Dude, Liam said in the chat, look forward to the two cute sports therapists that we'll bring you to.
Oh, nice.
There's always a silver lining.
Hopefully there's two in the chat, man. I want Liam as one of them.
All right. Okay, let's talk some F1 here.
Okay. F1 racing. Is this technically isn't sports talk because racing's not a sport.
Fuck off.
Okay, F1 racing. Josh, what do you want to talk about? Let's hear it.
Well, I kind of want to see where you're at with Drive to Survive here. What questions do you have? I want the questions.
Well, I was tough because I haven't watched it in two days or so. And I'm the same as everyone. When I'm watching it, questions are flying in my head. I'm like, oh, what about this? And I have funny takes about it too. Okay. The one thing I will say, so Josh and I are planning on watching F1. We're gonna watch F1 race on Sunday. It's my first one ever, F1 virginity being popped. Just like that. I'm actually kind of scared about how hard it's going to feel.
Do you think you will wake up early enough to make it there for 6 a.m.?
No chance.
Knowing how punctual you are and how fucking on time you are, there's no chance you show up right when it starts.
I think 6 a.m. is a bit easier than 8:30 or 9 o'clock. Just because 8:30, 9 o'clock, I kind of it's just water off a duck's back. Second episode in a row, I use that term. I don't give a fuck. I'm I could wake up for that, no problem. But 6 a.m. kind of it scares me. It puts me in my place.
Well, don't forget, you're not up at 6 a.m. You're probably up at 5:30 driving to my house.
When you get there, you're watching cars go around a track. For 2 hours?
Sounds like melatonin on TV, dude. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do
that. Yeah, you're not staying awake through that whole thing. There's no way.
Dude, trust me.
I'll be hyped. Here's what I'm going back to it, guys. Here's what I was saying is that lots of questions when I watch it, lots of thoughts. But here's where I'm at. I tried to not really look at current F1 stuff while I've been watching it because the season 2 is 2 years ago? Something like that?
No, season 2 was
last year, wasn't it?
Or, no, 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2019.
Almost last year, yeah.
So I was trying not to get myself any spoilers, but now here I am. I'm about to go watch my first race. I have no idea what's going on. And I'm looking, and so I kind of spoiled it for myself. I looked at the standings right now. My boy, Daniel Ricciardo, not with Renault. That didn't go well in season 2, I guess.
Yeah.
what else? Well, then I start seeing names that I don't know, like L. Norris. Fuck are you?
Who? Lando L. Norris?
Lando Norris. Did I meet him yet? Met him.
Dude, he was at the end of season 1. He was that little McLaren kid.
Oh, I remember this cocky looking fuck.
Yeah, so
I will say the thing I'm liking about F1 so far is it seems like all these drivers got a little bit of toot and a little bit of sass to them, dude. They all got it's a requirement. It's the first box you check off when you're you want to be an F1 driver. Do you have a massive ego? Okay, next part.
Dude. Well, they all come from wealthy families, don't they?
Not all
wealthy families or extraordinary stories of how they got there, because it takes a lot of money.
Yeah. Like, you have, like, Lewis Hamilton actually comes from, I don't know if he was poor, but he was definitely not rich.
Wealthy. Yeah.
But then you have, like, someone like Lance Stroll, whose dad is Lawrence Stroll, who's a billionaire, Canadian billionaire, who essentially bought his way into F1.
Yeah.
So, like, he has a seat, right? Like, he'll always have a seat as long as Lawrence Stroll is in the sport, because he'll always race for his dad's team. And then, like, some of them, like, I don't really know, but, you know, you will see, like, Esteban Ocon.
Yeah, he's back. Welcome back, Ocon.
Yeah, he's
always loved him.
You've got a couple. You've got a couple new drivers that are making their rookie season. So Yuki Tsunoda for AlphaTauri, also known as Toro Rosso, whatever you want to call it. So he's there. He's rookie season. Nikita Mazepin. I don't really know how you say his name. So that's
for Haas.
And then the other one is Mick Schumacher, and he's kind of the big one that they're saying, like, this guy's going to drive for Ferrari because his dad, Michael Schumacher, is the, I used to be, I guess, because Lewis Hamilton's pretty much broke all of his records, is the son of Michael Schumacher. And Schumacher is, like, some people say he's still the best race car driver ever. Like, ever.
Some people say that. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. So anyway.
Hey, it looks like, and I'm looking at the standings, it looks like fucking Brett Favre is driving for Alpine. I mean, Fernando Alonso coming out of retirement. Like, what the fuck is the point of having the big ceremony, the big send-off, if you're just going to come back?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, F1, like, it's an interesting one, because it's such a unique sport. Like, some people will go from, like, NASCAR to, like, IndyCar and shit, whereas, like, F1, it's like, dude, this is the only thing that you can do. Like, you're not going to go, like, Fernando Alonso, unless he pulls, like, a Talladega Nights and just goes into NASCAR and just dominates. But I don't think that's the case.
But yeah.
I'm pumped for this race, dude. I can't wait.
Dude, I mean, we got in the Twitch chat someone saying Senna was the best. I like, want to say a joke, but too soon?
So here's the thing. Is the track that they're racing on this Sunday at Imola, that's where Senna died.
I don't want to watch anymore, dude. Why are we getting all weird and sentimental about this?
I'm just saying, dude. Like, and so everyone, I never actually knew whatever happened to Michael Schumacher, because, like, he's alive, but apparently he was actually in, like, an almost fatal accident. That's pretty much, like, I don't want to say this in a mean way, but he's pretty much a vegetable. Like, he has not made a public appearance in, like,
oh, really?
14 years. Yeah.
Like, when did this happen?
I forget. You can Google it. Like,
I'll look it up.
Yeah, you can look up Michael Schumacher's skiing accident, but basically it caused him to, like, never walk again. Like, it was brutal, apparently. So, and the family's
2013.
So the family's always been super private about it. But yeah, like, I always find it, like, so ironic that, like, these guys drive, like, bombs on wheels, and, like, that's kind of how, like, that's how, you know, like, your life kind of ends in a way, you know?
Yeah, with a skiing accident of all things. Yeah,
it's an interesting one. So anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm excited. You got some, like, this is, I got to get over this, Josh. I need fucking Lewis Hamilton to lose. Like, I need to be able to have degenerate bets. And so, right now it feels like I can't do that because he's a horse that never loses.
Dude, well, it's funny you say that, because Verstappen is actually the favorite to win this race.
Oh, now we're talking. Now I'm betting on Hamilton.
But
like that.
I went on Bet365 today.
Yeah.
And apparently, if you bet $100 on a Williams driver winning a race, I think it's like $40,000.
Wow.
Like, no, like, I'm telling you, E, like, you want some righteous bets, like, go look at that and look at the spreads and, like, just look at the win to loss ratios. It's fucking crazy how much has to happen for, like, these teams to win a race or, like, to come top three. Like, it's nuts.
I imagine the betting world is pretty sophisticated in understanding F1, and they probably do it like horse racing, where you're allowed, you don't really necessarily have to pick the winner of the race. You're allowed to predict who comes in what position. That's probably the better avenue for F1. Because, like you said, when you're watching Drive to Survive, a lot of it is just about, like, can we get in the points? Can we get in the points? Like, top 10? And can you get, like, can you be top of the middle pack? There's, like, that kind of stuff. So that would be – that's definitely the hot take zone right there.
Yeah.
That's where hot takes live.
Like, where you want to be betting this year is you want to be betting on Alpine. You want to be betting on Aston Martin. What's the other one? McLaren. And I think there's one more. Oh, and AlphaTauri. Those are like the four middle pack teams. And Ferrari, I would say, as well.
How lame is that to be Ferrari and be a middle of the pack team, dude? That's kind of a loser moment right there.
It's pretty embarrassing, I'm not going to lie. It is very embarrassing for the team.
Hey, do we have a salary cap going this year too?
I think so. I forget what it is, though.
Something like $134 million?
Yeah, something like that.
So, anyway. So considering, didn't Mercedes used to spend like $300 million?
More. I think it was like 400. Ferrari was like 420.
Dang. So are their cars like significantly shittier this year?
Well, I think it's...
They probably just outsourced cheaper parts somehow.
Ferrari, definitely, I would say. But like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like they... But yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't really know. Like, it's hard to say after one race.
Yeah, they point on one. Dude, they just fucked up the red keep. They're like, hell no, dude. Cersei, you're down in the mud with everyone else.
Yeah.
That's a Game of Thrones reference if you didn't get it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Should we move on, guys? Should we hit up Gots and Woots?
I'm down.
Raph, are you down for a little Goots and Woots?
Always. Gotcha, always, butch. Always.
All right. So today's Goats and Woots, guys. We are... sitting here trying to figure out what topic to do. We've decided on the goats and woats of Canada. All aspects. There's no niche thing we're talking about. Any part of Canada, anything. I don't really know how to describe it. Canada.
Anything with Canadians, politics, you can go anywhere. You can go anywhere with it.
Josh is going to get super political. He's going to be like, woats, the NDP, the Conservatives, and Trudeau.
Love that. Okay, who wants to start?
Sketchy guy in the chat, Liam Feenan 10, saying Don Cherry. He clearly meant goats too. That's what he's saying. Watch out for Liam Feenan, big Don Cherry stan. Gotta watch out for him. Yeah, who's starting?
Raph.
Yo. My number one fucking goat for all of Canada, Unreal Maple Syrup.
Hey.
Yeah.
Classic choice. Very classic. You can't go wrong.
Even just like maple syrup flavored shit, like fucking maple bacon or like maple syrup flavored beers. Like, love it. Love it all. Can't go wrong with it.
Or even like maple syrup smelling $100 bills.
Yeah. That'd be so sick. Our money's all scratch and sniff.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be fucking dope.
And then like, actually, never mind. I was going to say, I'm like, why don't you just like have one bill that you scratch and sniff and it smells like the queen or something. Smells like a
there you go. Yeah. Isn't there like, I think at Capilano Suspension Bridge, you can get these like maple syrup cookies or something like that that are fucking awesome.
There you go.
I think those are also up there. Yeah. Anything maple syrup flavored. That's my number one.
Okay.
Good shout out.
I'll go next here. The population. I like how we don't have a lot of people that live here. I'm actually glad that we're not crowded like the US. I really am. I just find that it's just a lot more manageable. You know, like when you look at like the US, you're going after like 350 million people. Whereas here it's like, dude, like you're going after like 38, like you're chilling. You know, like it's manageable, I would say.
Yeah,
I agree.
And I think we have the most like square, aside from Russia, I'm pretty sure we have the most like square kilometers per person in the world. Second most behind Russia.
Yeah, because nobody fucking lives in Siberia.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, no one lives in, there's like very few people that live in the fucking northern half of our country.
That's fair.
Love that.
Okay. All right, E.
All right, my first goat, this is really just for a select few people out there. Is I Got Canada in My Pocket. It was a song back in elementary school. I don't know if y'all ever went to fucking music class back in the day. I don't know if they still do that. I Got Canada in My Pocket, a little bit of history, a penny and a nickel and a quarter. mean a lot to you and me.
Do you think that song is now outdated because we don't use pennies?
Honestly, it probably has some sort of racist undertone to it that I don't know about, but fuck it. I kind of like that song really, like, someone,
it's like something like Ring Around the Roses.
Yeah, I've definitely been utilizing the like small numbers of viewers we have right now. I've already asked for a physiotherapist, but I'm also going to ask for a DJ. If there's a DJ out there, can you please remix Canada in My Pocket so that we can have a sick bop when we go out of quarantine? That'd be awesome.
Okay. Raf, number two.
Dude, the obvious one that I'm surprised nobody said first, healthcare.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I feel like we all overlooked that one. How many times have you just gone to the doctor, just walked in, walked out, no problem?
Yeah, I know.
No fucking questions asked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you could be burning a hole in your pocket.
That's so fucking fucked.
Like, yeah.
Oh. Like, I just can't.
Yeah.
The other thing I will add, and this isn't part of my goats, but something to kind of add on to it, is assisted dying. I think that's actually an interesting right to have that most people don't have.
Assisted dying?
Assisted suicide. Or assisted suicide. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
I guess I don't think that's a term they want to use, actually. I mean, it's probably assisted dying.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless, I just think it's, and I was listening to this comedian, but he's like, no government or no, you know, one official can tell you when it's your time to check out, which I thought is very, I think that's actually a very interesting freedom to have. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of freedom, my second one is we're allies with the U.S. Now, I'm just kind of.
I'm sorry. Are we on votes right now?
I'm just kind of taking this from a World War III type of standpoint.
Okay.
It's very comforting to know that you've got the land of the free and the home of the brave, just, you know, 20 minutes south of us. Knowing that if China or North Korea or Russia get a little frisky with old Canadians over here, we got the U.S. to back us up. It's kind of nice, you know.
Like, yeah, but
we wouldn't get fucked because we probably would by the time the U.S. actually, like, you know, kind of come in and clean up. But nonetheless, I still think it's kind of a nice thing.
I think it's kind of alarming though. Like, think about it. if they get into like a war with China or something like that, Washington State gets nuked.
Well, that's kind of the shitty thing. Is like,
all that's just gonna fucking catch like the slightest draft all the way up north, and then we're all hooped.
Yeah, that's kind of the other. That's kind of the bittersweet thing. Is like, we kind of have to back up whatever the U.S. does, which is kind of unfortunate because like they kind of stick their big fucking nose in front of everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think that it's a good thing to have.
I agree.
Isn't it fucking weird that I agree, World War III, you're like choosing a superpower, but you're basically just, all right, what side, like, which psychopath am I siding with? Like, you're basically sitting there like, all right, dude, choose Freddy or Jason. Who do you want to be with? It's like what you're stuck with. So weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, my next choice, Terry Fox, motherfuckers. Literally, if that dude was today, dude, he would be the most viral thing ever to happen. He already is one of the most famous Canadians, rightfully so. We were talking about the 2K run earlier in high school that you used to have to do. Anytime you were told about like what Terry Fox did and they put it quantitatively for you and told you like how much he did in what amount of time on like his health conditions, I thought to myself, like, all right, I guess I could do a 2K run. Now, that was inspiring to think. I still could not do it very well. Tubby didn't like running very much, but shout out Terry Fox. That's a fucking, like, that's got to embody what you want to be as a Canadian, right? Like, that kind of determination, that kind of grit.
It shows the courage.
It does. It really does.
Yeah. Love that. Raph?
Cool. My last one, BC, dude.
BC.
BC is one of the greatest things about Canada, I think. I've talked about this so many times where it's like, I love where we live because we have everything right fucking there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have the ocean right there. You have the mountains right there. You've got the city right there. Like, you can literally do anything you want to within like a couple hours in BC.
And like, you've got Lake Country a couple hours north.
Exactly.
Don't you think the name kind of sucks?
What? British Columbia?
British Columbia. It's like not even an original name. It's just two names put together.
100%, but we got a sick acronym, BC.
BC's dope. I like BC.
Sick. Yeah. I think on top of that too, like, think about how nice our drinking water is.
Yeah.
Like I had a buddy who was out up north. He was fishing and he was like camping there overnight and he accidentally drank like just water that wasn't even filtered or anything like that. Didn't get sick, no nothing, just straight up from a river, totally fine. Like that's nice.
Love that.
Yeah. You do that in most places, you're fucking sick, you're bedridden for like what, a week, week and a half?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No shit.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Okay, my last one. This is going to tie into rafts, kind of. The Rocky Mountains, dude. The Rocky Mountains. Like, those things are some of the most beautiful mountains, if not the most beautiful mountains in the world. Like, you see pictures of the Alps. You see the pictures of the Andes. You see pictures of whatever. The Rockies, dude, are actually, like, they're fucking massive.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they are beautiful. Like, they're one of Earth's craziest fucking things about it that it's ever created. I'm a huge Rocky Mountain guy.
Huge Rockies guy.
And they span through Alberta. Can't forget that.
Yeah. A little bit of a little bit of a homer in them.
Yeah. Be a real big hard out, Josh. Yeah.
Last pick for goats here. ODRs. If you know, you know. ODRs.
I love
Raph,
that.
You know what that is?
No, what the hell's an ODR?
Outdoor rink, baby.
No,
outdoor
my God.
Rinks. Now, isn't that an ironic thing to say because I grew up in BC and have never experienced an ODR in my life, but
yeah.
I'm sure they're great.
Say, like the lacrosse box down the road, like that's about it. That's all we got.
Yeah.
We don't have a proper fucking rink outside.
Just like the knee, though, it's an excuse. It's an excuse as to why I'm not in the NHL. I know I have the talent, the size, the mindset. I just don't have the ODR growing up to get there, so. Tough.
True.
Love that.
Titties.
Okay. Do we have any honorable mentions for the goats?
I wrote down everybody loves us. That's
everybody
good.
Likes us. Lots of craft breweries.
Yes.
There lots of beer.
We gotta be the craft beer capital of the world.
Mine.
I wonder. I'll look it up.
I feel like Europe is so hell bent on like Guinness and Heineken that they don't even know what craft beer is.
My only honorable mention is our money. That's it.
Nice. Yeah. I wrote down most multicultural place in the world. I just made that up. I think that's true.
Real quick. Penticton is Canada's craft beer capital.
Shut the fuck up.
San Diego is the craft beer capital, apparently. Okay, oh, no, that's America.
Fair. That's fair.
And then Portland has the most craft breweries in the world, I think.
I went to Portland. We didn't even see that many.
But they're probably all tucked away. Like, think about how small some of the craft breweries are that we have.
Yeah, it's true.
All right.
It's true. Wotes, bring it up, guys. Let's shit on Canada real quick.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit. My bad. fucking, where do we want to start? How about something kind of topical? Our fucking COVID-19 execution.
Ooh. Oh.
Absolute dookie.
Vaccinations.
The whole country's doing 60,000 people a day, I think. Or no, that just may be BC alone. But
hey,
still.
You know what? I did this math for our friend the other day, and I don't think we should shit on BC as much as we do. There's probably other facts to like disagree with me. Yeah. But like, if you go off of the states vaccinating 1 million people a day, which I don't know if they're doing more now.
This was the states are vaccinating 3 million people a day.
Yeah. At the time of when I said this, it was a bit different. I think it was... they were doing 1 million and we were doing 60,000. And when you like factor in population size, it was
like
about,
they
were doing, I think like what was it? 0.3% of their I remember it was like 0.9 versus 0.6. Like we weren't far off.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
true.
The numbers, you're right that we've kind of, we've shit the bed in the fact that we don't have a shit ton of vaccines. That's where we shit the bed.
Yeah. But think about also places like Manitoba has a curfew right now. Toronto's back in full lockdown. We're slowly going back into phase 3 lockdown. Like,
yeah.
You know, we also don't have a primary provider for the vaccine. Everything's being imported from other countries.
Yeah. I think that's where you kind of take a back seat, right? It's like, if you don't fucking develop that, you're on the waiting list. You know, where the US is like, they're like, why would they focus on Canada when they have their own shit to deal with and a lot more people? So,
yeah.
Okay, boys, my first vote, the perception that we are all nice. I don't like that because some Canadians are assholes. And yeah. I don't know. Like, I just like, I don't, I don't know. That's always kind of like, oh, you guys are so nice. It's like, the fuck? Like, we're regular. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm so nice. Like, you smash Dusty's ashes in front of me. What do you think I'm going to say? Sorry? Like, kick your ass.
Have you ever heard of the phrase, Josh, the Canadian standoff?
No.
It's when two Canadian people open the door, or a Canadian person opens the door and he ushers somebody to go, being like, after you. And then the other guy looks at him. He's like, no, no, after you.
Yeah.
That's what they call a Canadian standoff.
And then they both apologize as they walk past each other.
Yeah.
But it is kind of cool though. Like, anytime you go international, the fact that they think you're nice right away, it gives you like one strike, or like you're allowed to use one strike, you know?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. You can go up to them, shake their hand, and be like, hey, you're fucking ugly. And they'll be like, all right, now we're starting fresh.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, I think there's something like, as soon as you say you're American, like, you're done
for. Sour taste. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I have this one story. I was in Amsterdam and we were going on a bike tour around downtown, like seeing Anne Frank's house and all this stuff. And we were right before we started going, the guide's like, okay, like, you know, like, what's everyone's names? Like, where are you guys from? So we're going around and like, we're like, oh, like, we're from Canada. You know, like, we say, like, country, you know, like, you say where you're from. And then like, she'll be like, oh, like, where in Canada? And you know, we'll say like, oh, Vancouver, you know, because like, if we say like Nanaimo or New Westminster, like, no one gives a shit about that. Okay. Yeah. And then we had two people in our group and like, oh, like, where are you guys from? And they're like, oh, we're from Austin.
Yeah.
and the Americans have the perception that everyone just knows where you're at, like, where that is, you know? Yeah. Like, obviously, like, I know it's from Texas. Like, I know that. But I just want one of these days to someone be like, where is that? You know, and like, oh, it's in Texas. Where's that? It's in the United States. Where's that? You know, and just kind of like put them in their place a little bit and be like, oh, yeah, like, you're not center of the universe.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, you know, just a humble, like,
or like, about it. Like, really shit. Like, they say they're from Austin, Texas. You're like, oh, that's that like really progressive place where they have like gay pride parade all the time. And they like, you know, they just believe in weed being legal. And like, just basically list off what California is, and they'll be so mad. They'll be like, we're not fucking California.
And like, I remember I talked to this one guy as well, and he's like, oh yeah, I have like a friend in Toronto. And like, they say it in a way that they think that I'm going to know that person in Toronto.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't even know my neighbor. You know, like, it's no, like, it's crazy. Cause it's like, again, another thing, it's like, oh, we're from Austin. It's like, oh yeah, I've got a friend in Seattle. Like, do you know her? Her name's this. And just see like what they say and just like act stupid, even though like, you know where it is and like, you know that you're smart. But anyway, I digress. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm next up for the votes. This is a testament to my nationalism, I guess. I had a hard time coming up with votes because Canada, so great. So great, Canada. First one I wrote down, though, unusable land. Way too much of that. We said it earlier. We've got Siberia up north. And there's probably a lot of people that live up north that are like, they're definitely watching Stick and Rink and saying, fuck you. Like, I love it up here. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't. That's that.
Why not?
Because it's not Vancouver. Like, imagine if we had, this is probably scientifically impossible, but if we had like all of BC was Vancouver, housing prices wouldn't be so high. I probably wouldn't be getting evicted.
It's true. Where would all of our energy come from?
Wind.
Where? From all the open land that we have due to all of our cities that we have fucking covering the entire country. No
wind,
way,
bro. Don't worry, wind will solve it.
Okay, I'm just going to go on.
You believed in wind for a while. That was your cell phone provider. Still is.
Yeah, sucks balls. I hate it. The only reason I'm with it is because it's cheap.
But it works. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay, my next vote, fucking geese.
Fuck, that's fucking probably the best vote you could have chose.
Dude, the worst fucking animal ever. They suck. They're big. They're dirty. They're mean. They're loud. They always fly in when you're not expecting them, and you hear them honking, and it's super fucking annoying.
And they get mad at you when they come into your personal space.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they're just the fucking worst animal ever.
I love that. That's awesome.
Liam Feenan, he's on fire in the Twitch chat. He says, glad they are used for coats. I do want to say, when I see a coat that says made with whatever it says, like, down goose feathers, I'm like, yeah, dude, double down. I'm in.
Do you feel very patriotic while wearing that coat?
Yeah. Well, people will say, like, dude, you're cruel. Dude, I just picture myself like in the Saskatchewan fields shooting it down. I'd be like, yeah, that's a coat. Right, that's there.
Fucked.
Oh, my God. That's what they shoot, right? They shoot geese?
No, they shoot ducks.
Really?
Is it? I think so. Yeah, it's not geese. I don't think you can shoot geese.
Dude, I think it's like really? Fox.
I think hunting geese is illegal.
Really?
No, you can hunt geese.
Right, I don't know.
I gotta clear my schedule then.
Okay. My next one. Snow tires. Hate them.
Oh, the worst.
Snow tires are actually brutal. Like, I just hate how that's like at like twice a year, it's a conversation for like 20 to 30 minutes that I have to go through. It's like, oh, you got snow tires on? It's like, no, I don't. Like, I know how to drive. Like, you should know how to drive in the snow.
Did you used to have snow tires in Alberta?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, because you had to.
Well, no, actually, well, my mom.
No, because he had to traverse the coke in his little car.
Yeah.
That's the only reason he had snow tires.
Bro, you may as well just put fucking skis on the bottom of it, man.
But dude, my mom never had snow tires. She always had all season. Same with my dad. Like, same thing. Like, and this just might be the Alberta talking, but like, when people are like, oh my God, like, we're going to get two, like, boys, we got four snowfalls this year and people are rocking winter tires. Like, what are you doing? Like, why is that a thing? Like, people should learn how to drive in the snow because it's a waste of money.
I am against you on this, though, because the reason you have snow tires is not for when it snows in Vancouver. It's for when, like, if you're like me and you don't plan a bunch of shit, it's for when you're like, oh, this weekend I want to go to Whistler. I'm going to Whistler.
Okay.
And, like, that's what you need.
I thought you were going to say it's for when you're running late and you just need to haul ass going like a buck 20 down the highway and 2 centimeters of snow and you can't stop.
You need that softness.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though, is then get all seasons. Get all season tires. Rain, snow, mud, sun or shine, whatever it is. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, like, winter tires are the biggest waste of money unless you literally live up north. BC, get your heads out of your asses, man. Come on. You're making us all look bad. Anyway.
All right. My next vote, my second vote. I'm going universities, actually. Canadian universities. Mostly because, like, it's a joke. It's a joke because you get to hear what American universities like. Granted, our universities aren't like $60,000 a year, which is kind of cool. I dig that. But I also kind of don't like that I can't have like a Blue Mountain State experience because, like, I went to Capilano.
Oh, shit. Did we lose him?
Oh, fuck. I think it's just E that we lost.
Oh, that's tough. Okay, real quick. I looked up the whole goose thing. Guess how many geese you can kill a day?
10.
If you have a license, you are legally allowed to hunt 10 geese a day in BC.
That's sick.
That's a lot of fucking geese.
So, I kind of want to. I love that, but I'm pretty sure Canada goose jackets are actually made from like. Oh, there he goes.
I removed him. He'll be back eventually.
Pretty sure they're made from like fox or something. Like, it's actually like an endangered species. Anyway,
I would pay anything to go to a Canadian, like a university experience, like fucking Arizona State.
Yeah.
Where do you think you cut off?
Yeah. Right.
How long do you think you went? Because you just kind of came in out of nowhere, making no fucking sense at all.
Dude, we were talking.
Well, I planned on that.
Like,
yeah.
40 seconds.
Yeah, I think the last thing I left off on was $60,000 a year.
Yeah.
No, you went past that.
Okay, so I said $60,000 a year, and then I said...
You said Capilano, and everything just froze.
Yeah. Capilano, just apparently they're watching, and they just sewered me when I was about to say they don't have any res there. You can't live on campus.
Yeah.
Which means you can't party on campus, which means there's no... The fact of the matter is there's probably 5 to 7 universities in all of Canada where you can have a good time. There's about 500 to 700 universities in the States where you can have a good time.
Yeah, the one thing I will say is if you actually want a true education, come on up here to good old Canada and we'll give you one hell of an education.
Yeah.
But if you're looking to party and just fucking get rowdy on res, like, dude, US is where it's at, man. Like, it's just the whole experience of it is just not it right now. Like, we just don't have the amount of people. It's crazy. Like, and you know what it is? And I firmly believe this. We don't have college sports.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, well, not to that caliber, at least.
Like, yeah, like, there's no tailgating at a UBC Thunderbirds game. Are you joking? Like, you know, like, we don't have a stadium like fucking Kyle Field where Texas A&M plays that seats 110,000 college kids every weekend. Like, we don't have that. You know, like, the fact that they can fill a stadium like that, dude, we can't even fill BC Place. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's nuts. Anyway.
Yeah. That's the sport thing. The sport thing is the worst. Like, the top U sports teams, CIS, like, that shit is nothing. It's nothing compared to what the NCAA is.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. My last
Raph next, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It is Raph next.
Raph, yeah.
Wait, no. Didn't you do the last one, E?
No. Yeah, I did. Okay. Yeah, it goes Raph.
Cool. My last one, fucking Quebec. One place just needs to fucking not be a part of Canada anymore.
Dude,
they kept fighting for their own independence from Canada. I think it's for the best if we just like cut them off, not if they get to leave from us. You know what I mean?
What's gonna happen to our Olympic team, dude? They're all gone.
Oh, whatever, dude. Doesn't matter.
Oh, like all the skiers and all that.
We're gonna win gold.
We'll figure it out.
Hey, but maybe when we cut the border out, we can use like those fancy scissors with the cool edges. So we just like kind of estimate what gets with it and what doesn't.
And hope that all the professional athletes are just left within Canada.
Yeah, that'd be kind of, and it would look pretty too, the border of the country.
We'll leave like Montreal and Quebec City, but everything else can take a hike.
Yeah.
Okay, my last one here, boys, and I don't want to dive too much into it, but the Canadian, like our Canadian history, it's pretty sucks. Fucked. It's pretty fucked, man. It
sucks.
Like, everyone's like, oh my God, Canada's such a happy place. It's like, dude, you go back like 100 years, it was not a happy place.
Like, it's a weird combination, Josh, of like really fucked up and super boring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's boring. Yes. Yeah. Like, it's like a boring, and that's the other thing. It's like nothing exciting happened. Like, we didn't separate from the US, you know, like there was no revolution. Like, there was none of that.
Hudson Bay Trade Company was, I think, the most exciting thing about all of Canada.
Yeah, and like it was literally just the French and the British just yelling at each other. It was like a discount fucking like war that the US had like 20-odd years later. Like, and on top of that, it was just a full of like colonization, assimilation, all that sad stuff. Like, like fucked up our true Canadians, which is so sad. Anyway.
This isn't trying to diminish any of that. On any scale, is there a country out there that has a good past?
No,
I know none of us know that. But that's an interesting question.
I don't know.
I feel like the country that has the worst, like it's got to be England.
Like they invaded
Russia.
Russia. Yeah. I don't even know because they were like. I feel like England. Josh is right. England was kind of like what the U.S. is now. It's kind of the center of the world for a while.
Yeah. They were like the world superpower. Like they dominated everything.
I think we kind of got to stop saying like Canada was bad, US was bad. The fucking world was bad. Why did we just say that? Yeah.
I think it was because like the world of discovery, right? Like things are still being discovered. Like people didn't even know what fucking Earth was. They saw an ocean and one day someone probably is like, I'm going to get across that thing. And then they came across and like came to Canada and hello, Christopher Columbus. There you go. How are you?
Yeah, seriously.
1492.
Weird stuff.
Or 17.
Oh.
I forget.
I think it's 14.
Yeah, it's 14.
I just said that, though. I have no evidence.
Yeah, no idea either. Pretty
1792
sure.
Sounds... No, because America was founded then, weren't they?
Yeah, that was like the day.
I don't know.
No, it was. 1792 or 1796.
I should really shut up because I just embarrass myself anytime I try and sound smart.
Anyway. So yeah, that's my last vote. It's just Canadian history. It's pretty fucked.
All right.
Round us off.
Okay. The fact that we don't have any tropical places, like we don't have a floor, like BC is really the only place. Like Vancouver is the only place
that can grow a palm tree.
Yeah. I mean like a palm tree. And I mean like somewhere where you can put a resort and it's kind of like the Mexico feel or the Florida feel, you know?
Yeah.
English Bay.
No, it's just not the same though. It's like such a small beach and it's like
But in the summer, it's like a very similar vibe. Or like, let's say like something on Kits, like right there by the beach.
It's similar, but in like a local sense. Like I've always thought to myself, whenever I talk to people that travel over here and I see them at English Bay or even Victoria for Shane in the chat, like even that, it kind of think to yourself, like, is it all that it was cracked up to be, you know, like visually? Because like,
you know, I've always wondered that too. I mean, like when you think about, you know, going down to the US or like going over to Europe, you know, like I would say people go over to Europe for like the history, right? Because it's like it's the founding of everything. Like Europe was where it's at 700 years ago and beyond. Now you look at Canada or you look at even the US, it's like, okay, when you go into the US, you go to a certain city, like you go to Miami, and you've got the white sand, you've got the picturesque beach. It doesn't snow. It's never cold. You know, you've got like old nightclubs and there's just kind of like that type of thing. And it's just like a very like touristy vibe. Like I've always wondered, like if you're a tourist and you're like, hey, like we're taking the family to Vancouver, like what's the attraction? Like, what is it? Like, what do you guys want to do here? You know, like the ocean's pretty fucking freezing. If you come in the winter, I mean, like, yeah, like Ralph said, you have the beach, you got some nice parks, you got some hikes, camping, and all that stuff. But I mean, like, other than that, like Vancouver, like it's a pretty generic city, you know. Yeah. Like we don't have like that thing. It's like people come here for that. Like people go to Florida for like Miami or Disney World or like, you know, California, LA, and like.
But do you think that's also based off of like people having different expectations for different places?
Yeah, I guess.
Totally.
If we were to compare, okay, well then how about this? What would be the Vancouver equivalent in the world?
Well, it, like, you know,
you want to go there.
You know what's shitty is. Portland?
It's not on the ocean. It's on a river.
Yeah, I would say Portland's. Portland ain't it. Seattle's more of it than Portland is.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would say the reason people come to Vancouver is because they hear it's picturesque and they hear that it's like, they hear that line where you're like, you can go to the mountains and the beach, the ocean in the same day.
Yeah, true.
Things like that. And if you Google like best tourist attractions in Vancouver, Stanley Park's number one. I think, and then it's just a crapshoot of like English Bay, Lionsgate Bridge, Capilano Suspension Bridge, the mountains, stuff like that.
Yeah, true.
But this is that's the thing about being spoiled and living here is that like whenever someone says like, hey, you want to go to Stanley Park, I'm kind of like, no.
The two most similar cities in the world to Vancouver are Seattle and San Francisco.
San Fran, I could see.
Dude, yeah. San Fran, like I just think it's a lot more interesting though. You know, it's famous for the hills. Probably. You've got the cable cars. You've got a fucking prison sitting in your bay called Alcatraz. Like, you know, you've got Golden Gate, which is way fucking better than Lions Gate. It's just like twice as long. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I can.
But you don't have the forestry that we have here. Like, that's the one thing that people take for granted. It's like you don't have that greenery.
Bria in the Twitch chat is so positive, dude. She's saying Centennial's nice. Stanley Park's nice. The SkyTrain's cool. Like, she's like Josh in Calgary, man. She won't go down. She'll go down with a fight big time. I would say that best place to live. I would say best place to live in the world, not the best place to visit.
All right.
Yeah.
I agree with that. All right, boys.
Was that it? Oh, that was it.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
I wrote down honorable mention for Wotes. I wrote down the flag. I don't know. I kind of like the flag, though. I don't know why I wrote it.
Like the flag.
The flag's classic. For me, my honorable mention for Wotes is Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Josh on that. I said the prairies, Saskatchewan and Manitoba.
Yeah. Come on.
And then somehow loop in Merritt.
Yeah, I used to have the same belief about Saskatchewan, but we'll have an interview with a guy from Saskatchewan a while back, and I don't know how many of you guys you know from Sask. It's the people there are literally 100% of the time they are gems and hilarious people. So, whereas Vancouver, it's about 1% of the time, and we are three of them. So,
Liam in the chat came in. No votes for housing. Housing is definitely a vote, 110%.
Well, no, that's more of a Vancouver thing.
Yeah, cost of living. Yeah, I guess. Well, even Toronto too. Isn't Toronto very expensive to live in?
Toronto's brutal too.
I think it's more expensive.
Dude, Calgary, yeah. I'm pretty sure just got pegged as like the most affordable place to live in the world.
Yeah, like, but didn't you say that the wind can make people crazy?
No, that's Lethbridge.
That's what it is. Yeah. Which is how far from Calgary?
2 hours south.
Dude, imagine that in like the cons of the city. You're like, hey, it's the most affordable place to live. What do you have to go through? Well, it was once the murder capital of Canada. And also the wind can possibly make you go psychotic.
Yeah.
Which kind of like, makes the two go hand in hand in a weird way, but we digress.
Yeah, seriously. how did we not say the lakes in BC? I don't know. That's a BC thing. You're right. Never mind.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I was supposed to mention this at the beginning of the episode. There's six people in this Twitch chat still listening. This is for the podcast listeners, actually, big time. If you're listening right now, we have a jersey giveaway contest going on through the network that we're part of, THPN, the Hockey Podcast Network. They're doing a jersey giveaway. Very easy to enter. All you do is go to our Twitter profile, put it as the pinned tweet. It's very simple instructions. You follow a couple accounts, you retweet the posts. If our team's post gets the most, then someone from our list gets selected for a free jersey. So it's pretty easy, pretty simple stuff. I like free shit, so definitely check it out. Other than that, DraftKings promo code THPN at sign up. Shane, thank you for already retweeting it. Tell everyone you pass by on the street, be like, hey, retweet this. There you go. That's my solution. Boys, is that it?
That's it.
I think that's it.
All right, curtains.
Oh, harder, baby.